You're tuned to KSJE, Farmington, New Mexico, 90.9 FM. And now, 103.3 FM, K277CR, Durango, Colorado. KSJE is supported by the San Juan Symphony, presenting The Majesty of Mozart, Saturday, November 5th at 7:30 p.m. in Farmington, and Sunday, November 6th at 3 p.m. in Durango. The concert features a combined 160-plus voice choir from Durango, Farmington, and Fort Lewis College, four soloists, and Mozart's Requiem Mass, his final musical statement. Find out more at sanjuansymphony.org, The Majesty of Mozart, November 5th and 6th. KSJE is supported by the Farmington Museum. What if you could jump into the world of wild krats and swing through the trees like a monkey, or hunt like a dragonfish? Now you can. Wild Krats, Creature Power, and Ocean Adventure Museum Exhibit, opening September 24th through January 7th at the Farmington Museum. Tickets at farmingtonmuseum.org.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Cop Shop with FPD. I'm your host, Chief Steve Hebby. With me today, and not as always, that would be Nicole or Georgette or Scott. But in this case, we have our new PIO, Shanice Gonzalez. Welcome, Shanice.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This is a big thrill, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Waited your whole life to be on the mighty KSJE.
All 29 years.
There it is. Yeah, that's depressing. Anyway, Shanice started with us 3 weeks ago as the public information officer, and she'll now be the new sidekick for us. She is an in-depth analyst on NFL football, a big fan of the Packers. Not a fan, curiously, of the Bills, which I think we'll explore a little bit as we go along. But Shanice, you are a local girl. You grew up in the Farmington area, San Juan County, and tell us a little about your life and how you came to be working for us.
So I'm from Aztec. I went to Aztec High School. I enlisted in the National Guard in 2010. I graduated from San Juan College from the School of Energy in 2017, so I have a degree in occupational health and safety. My family's from the area. I've lived here all my life. It's a great area. It's a great community. I have a lot of pride in it. I have a lot of pride in my police department. And I just happened to come across the job posting, actually. I wasn't exactly looking for employment, but it does utilize a lot of my skills that
been working at?
Yes. Yeah, here good. We go. I've done photography in the area for the last 10 years, so I own Sublime Photo and Video. I coach softball, so I've been a softball coach for Four Corners Fast Pitch for the last 5 years for my 9-year-old.
Very good.
Yeah, so I've been able to connect with my community through photography and softball.
So do you get tossed from games on a reasonably routine basis?
No. I don't. I'm definitely the mediator, worker for sure.
Well, good. And that's because as you know, I ref basketball, and so I'd be a little probably touchy if you were throwing your helmet at the umpire during the game. But
I used to ref basketball, actually. That was a lot of fun. I worked at the Boys and Girls Club. So, yeah, that is fun.
Yeah, that'll keep you busy. Mm-hmm. That season is starting for me. My first games will be Tuesday. That we're getting back into reffing. I am going to be running like 24/7 until then to try and get in shape 4 days from now. Is it too late for that, Scott?
No, not for you. Not for you.
Sure. Yeah, there you go. That's why we love the mighty KSJE.
For now.
We have a bunch of things going on. The fall has been extremely busy for both FPD and the city, but we have a bunch of events coming up. Started with our National Night Out, which you had just come on when we had National Night Out. So it was your first experience going to it?
Yes, it was.
And what'd you think of it?
It was awesome, actually, and being able to see, like, people talking about where it started and where it is now has been pretty cool. The meetings and stuff, being able to see the community, being able to see the events and everybody who took part in that and made it what it was. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Being able to see the social media.
I think this was our fourth or fifth one. I'm not sure anymore, but I know it's the first one we've had for a couple of years because last year's was a very small one. We didn't really publicize it very much, and so there wasn't huge crowds. The year before that, of course, was during the pandemic. It was shut down. So it had been a few years, but it really, this year was a great one. It was bigger than it ever had been. Lots of people came out, enjoyed seeing it. The fire chief, Robert, and I played some basketball with some folks, had a little contest. The mighty KSJE was out there booming live, thundering across the landscape. What did you think of it, Scott?
I thought it was great. I thought it was, you know, we wanted to be a part of it. It's a growing event. As you said, you were sold out this year. We wanted to be a part of it. We were able to do some live broadcasts from National Night Out throughout the evening. So that was kind of fun to show off our new equipment and bring folks in that maybe couldn't get there in person but could get there online.
Yeah. You know, I actually took that idea from Chief Heal over in Aztec.
Right.
He's done a great job with their National Night Out. Their crowds are huge. He really gets out, and the citizens really come over and support that event. It's been really pleasing to me to see it build for us from the small event it kind of was when we got started to really this was a big event. And so I'm excited to see what happens next year. But there was your first time out and about. Did your daughter get a chance to come to that?
She did not.
She did not. Well, we got to get her next year.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to play her in basketball or something. Not softball,
we are.
I don't
yes,
think.
We were doing basketball too.
Very, very good. Then this Saturday, so tomorrow, San Juan College has the Halloween Carnival, which goes from 2 p.m. to 5. No, I'm sorry, from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. And Scott, why don't you plug that? I hadn't even heard of it, so I'm glad to hear you guys are doing it.
We are, yeah. It's an annual event here at the college. A lot of the student clubs have booths set up to award prizes and candy and things along that line. They sell tickets, I think 25 cents a piece for folks to come in. So it's a fundraiser for these student clubs that are here on campus throughout the year.
Very good.
So they can do some things. And I know they are setting up the Henderson Fine Arts Center backstage area as a haunted theater to go through.
Very good.
That's opening tonight for students, and then the community can go through tomorrow. Okay. And, of course, there's the big Halloween costume contest, and that's why KSJE will be there tomorrow. We'll be broadcasting the costume contest on our streaming platforms for folks who can't be here in person to see some of the kids. It's all ages. I think it goes from just infant to adult. And
very
it's all
good.
Afternoon tomorrow.
And you're in costume already. Can we
yes,
get your camera
activated? Yes, I am in costume already. Sure,
Chief. Why don't we get Scott's costume activated here?
What's the matter? You don't you like my costume? Look, I'm just in a shirt. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
I can't see it.
Is there a problem?
Let's point this down. There it is, folks.
You're looking at my... Oh, did I put that shirt
He's
on today?
He's masquerading as a Buffalo Bills fan today.
Oh, my. I was just looking for a blue shirt. How interesting that would somehow appear on my wardrobe today, Chief.
What would cause you to be in costume like that today, Scott?
Is it, well, oh, I don't know. I don't know what would cause me to wear that today, Chief. I'm not sure. Let me think about that for just a moment. There might be a football game coming up this weekend. Maybe you've heard of it. I don't know.
So Sunday night is going to be a bleak night for me and for all those who love me. And I know that's the overwhelming majority of the city that will be feeling my pain because my mighty Packers, they started off 3-1, and it was borderline, and then they've dropped 3 in a row, and now I'm borderline. And unfortunately, Sunday night, national television, a chance for us to be completely dominated in front of the entire nation, and it's to no other team than Scott's Buffalo Bills. And he has his little Josh Allen, which actually physically moves me to illness, as opposed to all the other Buffalo stuff that I'm now currently staring at. I am always so... quiet and reserved about my love for the Packers that I don't understand why somebody would go out of his way to antagonize me like this. But, you know, he has, and that's who Scott is.
Now, for our radio audience who can't see the image, Chief, maybe you could describe it for the radio audience.
No, I really can't, Scott. I'm having a vision problem.
You can't see it? It's on every monitor in the studio,
oh, yeah.
Chief. I'm sorry that you can't see it, but... it's worth watching. Well, let's put it that way.
There
radio,
is
radio listeners.
Niagara Falls, which is probably the only place up in that godforsaken part of the country that you would want to go and see. And I actually have seen it. It
right.
actually is beautiful.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's got Aaron Rodgers standing at the base of Niagara Falls, and
Now, I hate to correct you, Chief, but Aaron Rodgers is in a barrel about to go over Niagara Falls.
I actually didn't even see the barrel. It blended in. You're right.
Okay.
He's in a barrel. He's going over Niagara Falls, and somehow Josh Allen is jumping. I think he's jumping from the Canadian side.
Probably.
Into the American side of the...
As Josh Allen is wont to do during a football game.
As he's wont to do.
Yeah, he kind of jumps a lot.
So one of the things that when I was doing interviews for the PIO position for us, that I found to be a real worthwhile question for us as an agency and as a profession is, do you know who Scott Micklin is? And the first person that said they did not, I hired. And that's Shanice. So she has not ever heard of
it. I don't recall that.
Really?
I didn't have his last name. I knew, yeah, I watched Cop Shop. Scott's name's thrown around. I didn't know the last name. So sorry, but Scott, I know your face now. I see you in public.
And it makes you angry, as it does me. And, you know, so, you know, it was a very short interview process. I actually didn't know she'd gone to school. I didn't know she completed high school. She didn't know who Scott was. Hired right on the spot. So that
Packers
was great.
Packers fan hired.
There you go.
Cat. I like cats.
And she likes cats. There you go. Yada yada yada.
The other two.
She's been the most successful. So we're pleased to have her. So Saturday, come on down here to the college at noon. And we have put out, the FPD has put out, actually it was Shanice, put together some safety tips for you for trick-or-treating for your kids. Scott's got that up right now. And they're just some common sense things to make sure that that what is actually a fun time of year for kids, really of all ages, stays fun and stays safe. And so take a look, you know, at some of the safety tips. They're mostly common sense. But it's common sense that it's always worth revisiting, especially with your kids before they go out and about. And then we will be down, Shanice and I will be down at Boopalooza, which is Monday from 4 to 6 p.m. right downtown Farmington. They close the streets off. If you've never been there, it's well worth going to. It's a great event. I actually love it. I roam through the crowd. Anybody dressed as a cop or a Packer fan, hey, we're getting a picture. And we're going to be down there again. Now, if you can wear a Packer jersey after Sunday night, then you might be gutsier than me even. But I'll be looking for you. So come on down there. I think I'm actually a judge in the costume contest. I can't imagine who I'll choose. But I would think people in Packer jerseys and cop costumes might have a chance. That's just me. Not that I'm tipping my vote at all, Scott.
Okay, all right.
Because I know you're a professional judge. Are you down there judging?
I am not judging this year, no.
You're not?
No.
Have you in the past?
I don't believe I've done that one. They've been asked to do that one in the past.
I don't know that they've ever done it before. So,
okay.
So it'll be a good experience. And Shanice,
anybody in a Bills jersey get any recognition at the costume contest?
No.
No, not
they get
all.
Banned.
Nothing from you.
Okay. The outhouse.
All right.
Shanice, you've said you've not been to this, so this will be your first time.
It will be, and I'm excited for it.
Yes.
Yeah, they're taking pictures of everyone. I got the costumes. I have a ton of coloring books. So many boxes. If I could bring some of those, I would definitely hand some of those out.
Yeah, we will be there. So look for us. Look for coloring books. FPD will be down there in a couple of different forms. You know, passing out candy and things like that, and as well as making sure that everything stays safe down there within that area. But it's a great event if you haven't been there. So come on down, 4 to 6 p.m. on Monday, Boopalooza. And other than that, we've been busy just in general, but one of the things we've had recently is we had a post this started this last week on a black van, which unfortunately is getting to be more often than I would like it to be part of the rumor mill. But it started as a black and white van is picking people up and they're disappearing. And that started early last week, and we ran that one down. We were able to make contact with the subject who was driving that van. It turns out he is working for, on a contract basis, he's working for a residential treatment facility out of Phoenix. And he was up here, he's talking to people that he's encountering on the street, more of our street population, that here's a chance to go to a residential treatment facility. And when the people agreed to do it, then he was taking them down to that treatment facility. So we did get all of that run down. We actually contacted three of the people that were transported down there. One of them did not want contact with her family, didn't have any issues with it. The other two didn't have any issues with it. But at least one of them got down there and decided they wanted to come home, and they were provided with transportation back to the Farmington area. an unusual event, honestly. I haven't seen or heard of that too often. But, you know, far different than what the initial reports were of human trafficking, of sex trafficking, of kidnapping and disappearing. And so we put out a post that said, you know, let's stop the gossip and stop the rumors, and let's just deal with the facts. And I was maybe surprised, but more disappointed probably, with the reaction to that post, because it was much more hostile than I would have wanted to see it. And it will lead us actually into the next series of conversations that we're going to have. So first of all, that this event absolutely did not occur the way it was presented. There is nobody going around just grabbing people off the street and whisking them away into disappearance land. Secondly, FPD absolutely did run this event down to the point that we had officers down in Phoenix sitting down with the administrator of the residential treatment facility talking through what had happened. Additionally to that, we are working with the Attorney General's office to set up a meeting with them, and we are going to reach out to the Attorney General's office from the state of Arizona to work with them, because I don't love the way this looks. It could be welfare fraud. It could be insurance fraud. It certainly is unusual that a treatment facility from another state would be here just roaming around our community looking for people to go down there. I don't like it at all. Don't like the smell of it. But that's a far cry from people are being just kidnapped randomly and sold into sex slavery or child trafficking or whatever the other rumors were. All of it was overblown. And all we were saying was, you know, let's stop the rumors. Let's try and deal with some facts. Rumors just create panic. Of a van out there just snatching people. And the reality was, we did run it down. We do know basically what the facts are. Anybody who was picked up and wants to talk with the police department, we're certainly interested in more information. But we're also not done with the case. You know, we are going to get with the Attorney General's office. We're not sure which one will have jurisdiction, maybe both, between the New Mexico Attorney General's and the Arizona Attorney General's office. But we don't like the way this looks either. I'll be shocked if it's totally legal. Maybe it's legal, but it's not ethical under the medical professional rules. You know, I don't know the answers to those questions. But, you know, what we're looking for is something in between panic causing and the police do nothing. We absolutely did look into this. We absolutely do take these kind of events seriously. And we spent a bunch of time on it. And we're going to continue to spend time on it. But it was not as it was presented. And that had really taken off online as well. So, Shanice, you got your first little taste of the PIO world when we posted that, and it wasn't exactly the best reception we've ever received.
Correct.
But what are your thoughts on, as more of a citizen coming into the police department, on how this all transpired?
I think we were trying to be super specific with the post. We were specific about the abduction and the trafficking, because that's what was happening in all the comments. People were jumping in on other people's missing persons posts and displaying that information, causing panic. So I think we were trying to be super specific. It was specific to a traverse. It was specific to the male that is making contact with the communities. It was specific to a certain company, and that was what we were trying to shut down the rumors on. Like everything else, other companies, like all the other insurance frauds that are happening, different abductions that are happening elsewhere, it wasn't a general post, it was a specific post. So I think people kind of took that and ran with it, which is what we weren't really wanting. Yes, we're looking into more information on everything, and we are interested in the insurance fraud, but it was trying to bring down that panic in the community is the reason that we put that post out.
Yes. You know, when you look through the comments, and if you haven't, you know, we obviously leave them up on our Facebook page, and you can find it. It's down a couple of posts now, but you'll see just some of them are colorful, some of them are just outlandish, and a few of them are offensive. Some of the more offensive ones attack the FPD as we did not investigate it because we don't care that Native people are being kidnapped out of Farmington and are being taken away from here, and FPD is a racist place, and Farmington's a racist city. And honestly, I almost can't come up with how offensive that is and how ignorant it is, honestly. But it plays into the next one that I want to talk about, and that's, and Scott's got it all poised to go, it's the Officer Down Memorial page. And I was going to talk about that, and then this other topic came up, but actually the two blend together. Because as we're sitting around as a nation wondering how come we can't get more people in police leadership positions, why are departments struggling to get police chiefs, why are departments struggling to get officers, Because look at a few of those comments and ask yourself whether that's the job you want to be doing. When we've actually done a bunch of stuff behind the scenes, and in an area like this that's actually very supportive of law enforcement by and large, we can still post something that says this just isn't true, and we'd like you to slow down on the rumors, and then you wind up being attacked as we just don't care about whatever group of people it happens to be. We just don't care, and we're not doing anything about it. And honestly, it's not a shock to me that across our country we're struggling to get police officers, because who wants to do that job? You know, who wants to dive in and take that when there's the immediate response from the public, even in a friendly area like this? Truth is, I've been critical of some of the things that have gone on. The governor's given big pay raises to the state police, and that's been a sign of support for law enforcement. You know, baloney. We did not get into this mess of not having people being police officers because they aren't paid enough. We got into this mess because of the vitriol and the attacks on law enforcement and all of their motivations and all of the reasons that law enforcement and people working in it are bad. That's why we can't get cops. That's why we can't keep cops. We can pay them more, and that'll maybe draw in a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's the vitriol surrounding the profession that I have been openly critical of, and I'm telling you, that's the reason that we're struggling to get police officers or to keep them. So Scott's got the Officer Don Memorial page up, and this is something we've talked about a little bit through the years. I wind up sending condolence cards to every officer that's killed in the line of duty. It was a bunch last year with all the COVID. But by and large, they were trying to get down to below 100 a few years ago. That was a big national campaign, get down below 100 cops killed. This year already we're at 53 cops shot to death in the line of duty, just shot to death. I think last year we were at 62. My guess is we'll be right around that same number. But you had two cops shot in Connecticut about a week and a half ago. Another one followed up within days down in Mississippi. So if you ever want to take a look at what's going on in law enforcement and why maybe we're having some of the struggles that we're seeing getting bodies and keeping bodies, take a look at the Officer Don Memorial page. It's well worth looking at. You'll see some stories of how these officers died. One of the condolence cards I did just the other day was a 22-year-old kid. He'd been off FTO like a month, and he shot to death in a smaller town, is my recollection of it. But that goes on across our country. And as a sign of where we're at as a country, Minneapolis PD, there was an article on them. They just graduated 6 recruits from the academy. Minneapolis is maybe 5-6 times what the Farmington Police Department is. We've got 7 kids, maybe 8 in the academy right now. They graduated 6. So that department is in massive trouble. And across the country in our bigger cities, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, the shortage of officers is astounding. For us, we're down 20-some. The sheriff's office is down a little bit more than that, but this is an area that's rich with support for police. But now track back with me to that post that we had. When we have those kind of vitriolic responses to just information being put out and to the assumption that the PD does not take things seriously, that we're that biased, that we don't care about our citizens, man, that is a rough world to be in. So I hope that you'll join me and let's tone down some of the vitriol on social media. This event was important, and it was important to us. Other than that, I will tell you, come on out and see Scott tomorrow at the college. Come and see Shanice and I at Boopalooza on Monday and vote. That election is coming a week from Tuesday. And Shanice, you get to go off. You wanted to sing a song on our way out, didn't you?
Happy birthday.
There she is. Well, and for us for today, that's all. We'll see you in 2 weeks here on The Cop Shop. Thanks for tuning in.